This is comedy.
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 Comedy. Comedy above the pub.
This is Joanna Denning.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Nasa Gay.
Kevin Brock.
This is John Wing.
Tracy Hoyt.
Adam Groh.
This is Jason Passan.
It's Peter Anthony. You're listening to Comedy Above the Pub.
I just blew your mind.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Comedy Above the Pub, Episode 1, Season 1, Episode 1. My name is Tavin Allen. We have in the house this week, very, very funny man, all the way from Montreal, doing some shows up here in Toronto. We're lucky to have him, Jocko Alston. But let me take you around. First of all, for the listeners who came in and joined us from the TVA podcast, thank you. Welcome back aboard. We're back. Slightly different, still kind of the same amount of fun. We have Darcy.
Hi.
Who produces several podcasts. There isn't, I would say, many podcasts in the city that don't have your thumbprint on them somehow.
Either and I apologize for that.
And no, you should not. It's I think we're lucky to have you here, and we can't thank you enough, Darcy.
Darcy does mobile podcast interventions.
He does. Yeah, he comes in, puts them on the rack, and says, "Oh, there's your problem right there. You're recording in a." Well, I don't even know what I was looking for.
Wow.
I said elevator. Elevator's going through my head, and I'm saying chopper.
Start.
That's what I wanted. So you're doing it on the back of a Harley. That's the problem. Ian Atlas right there. Comedy producer.
Yes.
In Toronto. Producer of the Nerdgasm shows here.
Yep.
A fine eye for comedy, a fine ear for comedy. Keeps the show pretty honest.
Yes.
I would say. That's what you bring to the table. And when it happens, obnoxious drunkard. But we like it.
It was a one-time thing.
There was a one-time thing, and we'll never let you forget it.
Although, if the audience would like to hear more Drunken Ian episodes, send your feedback to, what's the address?
What is the address there, tech producer Darcy?
We got podcast at Comedy Above the Pub.
Okay. .com, I'm assuming.
.com.
.com,
of course.
Yes.
Anybody want to send something to me personally, mm-hmm. Darcy, D-A-R-C-Y,
mm-hmm.
at Comedy Above the Pub.
And there could be things that you want to, because we'll do questions for the guests as they come in. You can fire those in quizzes. We have a couple of segments coming up where you may want to bring in something you've done.
Yeah, if you want to leave feedback and not necessarily want to offend Todd, because he might give you a spot on the show Above mm-hmm. the Pub here. We should explain that this Comedy Above the Pub is also a comedy night every Thursday here.
That's
at
true.
McVay's, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we got the name here. The show's been running for well over a year. We're closing in about, what, year and a half, I would mm-hmm. say, right now in the summer. And it's upstairs at McVay's here in Toronto, Toronto, Ontario. Professional comics show up, do the show. We have amateurs. We have people who have done it for the first time ever. It's a great mix. And a lot of the people that you hear on this show come out and do that one as well. So, you know, we're happy to have everyone aboard. In every capacity. Now,
we booked a guest for this episode.
We did. Yeah, we did. No,
hi guys. I was wondering,
we just mentioned him, and then we put in like a bag with it filled with sand and a hat.
Exactly.
And
we saw the Jocko Alston cardboard cutout.
Jocko
exactly.
Alston.
Just do the shout out, and then okay, you're done. You can go outside and have a cigarette.
Yeah. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Todd. How are you?
It's so good seeing you. With the only time I ever get to see you is like when we're booked.
Yeah, exactly.
On shows.
Yeah, we were in Ottawa a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we with what was that weirdo?
Oh, we're gonna go this way.
Oh, what's it? Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I can say it.
Okay,
you want to say it?
You can. Brovidani.
Alex Bro.
Oh,
that was keep quiet, Ian.
That was a fun. He's an okay kid, I'm sure they'll eventually get the right mix of meds for him. But I mean, he's just
doubtful.
It was a fun weekend.
I would like to point out to the listeners at home who is saying this. No, he's fine.
He may kill us all. I'm just kidding. He's fine.
Because it's jokes.
Of course.
That's what we're doing.
Of course.
It's because you know what? When I'm hooking up in shows and stuff like that, I'm coming out to host one. Like, you never know who the headliner is going to be and whether mm-hmm. you're going to get on, because we're trapped in that condo.
Exactly.
You know, it's like being on the road for 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
Except it's all the time.
Exactly.
I have lucked out. I'm touching, I guess, Masonite at this point.
Showing off the fine quality set provided by Canadian Tire. So
it's we couldn't get the plastic Adirondack chairs that I like. But
for the people who can't see it, we have a brand new set here: catering, sparklers, banners.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. They greet you at the door. Hot towels. Yep. Very nice.
We came into some money since we've rebranded. That means we mugged Mike Dambra on the subway.
Exactly. I think he's still whimpering and crying somewhere on Jarvis. So I'm not sure.
For a fucking week.
So, but no, like I have lucked out. Like, and I've always gotten on with the the headliners. It's like
I've been very lucky because I mean, like you, I do a lot of hosting too, and I've been very lucky as far as car rides go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did have one really retarded experience with a headliner in Ottawa. Who I didn't see him for 4 days. He would just literally go to the show, stay in his room, mm-hmm. and then he would leave for the show. So then one morning he gets it's like a winter day. He gets up one morning, it's like 8:30. I'm having a hazelnut coffee. If you recognize Mike Dambra, that's my hazelnut coffee.
Do you bring that on the road?
I drink hazelnut coffee. I'm sorry. I have my little perks. And yes, I like women. So, so he gets up early in the morning and he's got his hat on and he's got his jacket on. He goes, listen, I'm going to go hit the gym. You know, I'll be right back. I'm like, okay, cool. So then he leaves. 5 minutes later, he comes back. He's like, I forgot my hat. I'm like, okay. So I'm watching SportsCenter and I'm online and I'm like 3 hours have passed. I'm like, did he leave? And did he come? Like, was I totally immersed? I go, his room is in front of the bathroom and you can see in. He's lying on his bed, fully dressed. I'm talking hat. He has his hat on, scarf, gloves, mittens, boots, and he's passed out dead asleep on the bed. And he slept there till like 3 p.m.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I know. That was a weird. I'm like, holy shit. That was the weirdest experience I had staying in a condo with another guy. So
I was see that happen at the gym.
What?
You would have laid down, got done some work at the gym, and just passed right out.
Yeah, that would have been funny. And his freaking hat and toque in the sauna. Yeah. So.
Wouldn't you take off the mittens once you hit the gym?
No, man. Wouldn't that be gloves. Something?
I don't know. You don't want to get those calluses.
The parka?
Yeah, there you go. It was just very odd.
The there were problems. I was down in Hartford, Connecticut, doing shows down there. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing, like when you come up to like Absolute and like Yucks and stuff like that, like I'm always finding the staff are absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important not to be a dick to those people.
No.
Don't be a dick to anyone.
No,
that should be a rule of thumb forever.
I think they wrote that in a book somewhere. Some sort of golden rule.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Because the staff's the one that sees you all the time. The, mm-hmm. the managers or the club owners are usually in the office or not even there.
Right.
They rely a lot on, like, what did you think of Jocko? What did you think of Todd? And if they say, well, he's an asshole, and well, then you're not booked again. So. Yeah.
Well, thankfully, the rule applies. Treat people nice, and I'm going to get ass back down to Hartford. And that'll be fine. But it was weird. Like it's one of these kind of showcase clubs where they'll get like really big comics. Like they had like Harlan Williams coming in the next little while. I think Norm McDonald was coming down. Like really, really decent sized guys. And Pauly Shore was down there
Jesus
at one point. Yeah, so
the
here
trifecta.
We go. The trifecta. he was down there. I was talking with the staff. And was like, oh, you guys are great. Because they were swooping in with belligerent helpfulness. Like every 5 minutes.
Which is an odd form of helpfulness.
Yeah. Can I get you anything? Are you sure? Like literally every 3 minutes we come by. Are you okay? He's like, yeah, just water. That's fine. And it's like, oh, you still have your water. That's good. Like literally every 5 minutes. And I'm like, you guys are, I just point blank said, you guys are fantastic. I can't imagine anyone having problems with you. And they went, well, Pauly Shore was down here at one point.
Yeah.
And like, okay. And, the server told me the story where she comes in to tell him when he is on the show and what's going to be happening. Says, okay, the host is up right now. He's got about 3 minutes left. Then there's going to be a guy doing 10 minutes and then you. And he turns to her and goes, are they waiting for me?
What?
Yeah. So then she says, well, I just said he's got 3 minutes and then we got 10 and then you. So be ready in about 10 minutes. He goes, are they waiting for me? And he goes, I don't understand. And he starts to approach her, like in the hallway, Jesus. Outside the green room, and starts like pinning her against the wall and saying things. Are they ready? Just saying this over and over and over again. And she like turns to leave and he grabs her arm and like puts it behind her back.
You're kidding.
Yeah. And it's got her up against the wall like this and says, tell me that they're waiting for me.
Oh, Jesus.
And she goes,
objection,
okay,
Your Honor.
Yeah.
Hearsay.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And says,
I can't.
They're waiting for you. And wow. He goes and he lets her go and goes, okay, that's cool. And then just fucks off. And apparently got a blowjob in the green room as well. Not from her, obviously, but yeah.
That'd be a remarkable turnaround if he pulled it off
and
from
I,
her.
Like, okay, so there's a guy I don't like. I don't appreciate what what he's done for comedy and anything about that. But just when you think you can't hate a guy enough.
I know.
Just when you think to yourself, well, I'm done. I can't go any further. Nah. I would rather him have passed out in a toque, to be quite honest. I think it would have been.
Go. Yeah, exactly. I think that would have balanced everything out.
Have you ever heard anything like that, untoward, about anything like that?
I've heard horrible stories. Nothing about, bodily harm done to staff members.
Right.
But I think certain comics. And I think it's funny because it's always the guys who were once something that are now back here. Like, you know, it's kind of a stepping stone. We do the clubs and maybe eventually TV and movies. Then we get to do arenas, right, or big soft seat theaters. And then you think a guy like Pauly Shore or Skippy from Family Ties. And they've been there and they come back and they're just the biggest bunch of dicks.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, hello, you're falling right now. You should be really appreciative that somebody will book you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this has become social commentary.
Dustin Diamond, I've heard the same thing. Screech.
Yeah, I heard he's a total Screech. Dick. He's a total dick.
Oh, who was it that was telling me in out west about Andy Dick?
There's a surprise.
Yeah, who lives up to his name. Was apparently got pulled out like by an Edmonton crowd in the parking lot.
Yeah, actually, you know, Mike Dammer would probably know that more. But that was actually in the National Enquirer. I remember I remember. I don't know the whole story, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
There's muttering coming from the back.
Mike is enjoying breakfast at Tiffany's right now, so we cannot disturb him.
He's got his Mancini going.
Exactly.
Got the Mancini on.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, okay, so you come from a line of entertainers, it sounds like.
Yes.
Jazz man was your dad?
Yeah, my dad was a jazz musician.
Take us through that, okay, because Darcy is going to be getting wet at this prospect because
he's a huge
jazz nerd.
Oh, well, here, then you're...
And I'll just check out and play with my iPhone now.
Get the handy wipes out. No, my dad was a saxophone player, and he played with Duke Ellington and Cab Calloway and Count Basie and all that stuff in the 30s and the 40s. You might want to Google this, Ian.
This is back when they had vinyl records.
had to crank the side of the player.
Exactly.
And you may have to explain saxophone.
It's what Lisa Simpson plays.
Oh,
saxophone.
I like the saxophone.
No, so I grew up in I guess a jazz family. My uncles were musicians, not to the point that my dad was, but I grew up in a musical family. So.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother's an interior decorator, so I have quite the earthy, farthy family.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
they really wanted you to become an accountant or something.
Apparently,
yeah.
Apparently.
So when did you get the comedy bug? How come you? Well, obviously, interior design didn't take you.
No.
Did you ever fancy jazz? You ever did, like, look at the music?
Well, you know the. Now it's going to turn into an Oprah episode. When I was a kid, and I would take music.
Ian, could you hold his hand, please?
Exactly. Hug me. When I was a kid and took music in school, like I played piano as a kid, they all expected, well, you know, your father's a jazz musician, so this should become, and I totally rejected it. You know, I'm like, no. And when I was a kid, I grew up listening to Bill Cosby records when I was a kid, like in my single digits, and then it was Steve Martin. With the Wild and Crazy Guy. And then I remember I got the first time I bought a Richard Pryor record, and I must have been 10 years old. And I have no idea what he's saying. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's almost
words.
Too young.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, motherfucking dude, I'll be hitting my pussy. And I'm laughing because the record's laughing.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, I guess I should find this funny. Right. So my dad is standing at the door, and Richard's doing one of his setups and blah, blah, blah. Then he goes, motherfucker. Then you hear, okay, you know, we're going to go get you, you know, we're going to get you another Steve Martin record. You shouldn't be listening to this.
Do you like Raffy? How about Raffy?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I hear the Wiggles are going to be big in 20 years. I was a fan of it. I was always the jokey kid in school, you know, always clowning around. Then I went to a comedy show, and the weird thing is, and I don't know if did you see comedy live before you went on stage the first time?
Yes.
Okay. See, when I first saw a comedy show.
I should qualify that. No. I just went through the memory banks, and I'll tell you why that was. Because I don't really consider it the first time I did comedy. To be real, I was in Gananoque, Ontario, is where I grew up, and so the small town in Ontario. So for the folks,
thank you.
And so growing up in the small town, we were not afforded any opportunity for live stand up at all. So I was like you. It was the George Carlin albums. First album I ever bought there was something called Just for Laughs, not the festival, but it was like Shecky Green, Who's on First by Abbott Costello.
Oh, yeah,
Richard Pryor was on there.
It was a K-Tel.
It was a K-Tel. That's exactly what it was.
Oh,
yeah.
I used to love K-Tel.
Shelley
Canadian success story.
Yeah. Yeah. Shelley Berman's the Macy's department store.
Yeah.
No, Madam, the Southwest. Like that whole phone call.
I have so many things to Google.
So
yeah,
we didn't.
Do.
My God, your hands are going to be tired. So. There was a smaller town kind of way outside again, I don't know, called South Fredericksburg, and I'd never heard of it, but my buddies were saying, hey, you're a jackass. They're looking for stand up. And so I went, I could do that. And so I went out, it was for $50. I had to audition.
Oh, wow.
Out there.
At least you got paid. Well, it took me years before I got paid.
Well, dude, first of all, it was the nastiest night ever. They were making it like this kind of Nevada feel. This is what it's going to be in Nevada. It's a floor show, that sort of thing. And it says, there's going to be you and another comic, and he's going to open first. The other comic, first of all, they've hired me, 17 years old, and doesn't know jack shit. Oh. I was stealing bits from Gallagher. I did not know that you weren't supposed to do that.
Maybe I should just keep going with my story.
Yeah.
It's getting sadder sadder.
No, it gets worse.
Please, save us from this.
It gets worse. He goes up. First of all, there's no one there. There's maybe four people, including the organizers. They have the buffet there. They have like a Wheel of Fortune. That's their casino. That's nice. It. Like they're the big, which is going on during the show.
Nice.
As is the carving, the electric carving knife for the roast beef. So you're trying to do. It's awesome. Like so far, this night is just screaming awesome. And I get up and just horrible. Just absolutely. The first guy did nothing but street jokes. About old men and how their penises don't work. Like that's how it was.
And then you walk up with this watermelon.
I walk up with a sledgehammer,
and the rest is history.
I had props. I had a suitcase full of props. This is how awesome I was. This is fucking comedy.
Oh, wow.
No. So yeah. So then I finally went to like an actual show in university, and that's where it got where I saw it. Like, you know, I was in Kitchener and went to the Kitchener Yucks, and that's where.
Oh, okay.
That's where I first saw comedy.
Because I saw a show first time, and it was David Mary,
mm-hmm.
who was headlining, and I watched it as a student. I'm like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that.
Yeah.
You know? 6 months later, I went to another comedy show, and I was watching Lawrence Morgenstern.
Morgan.
and I'm like, I could do this. And then they mentioned, well, this is a Saturday night. They go, come back on the Monday, and we have amateur night. I'm like, okay, cool. So I went on the Monday, and I jumped on stage, and, to coin a phrase from our business, I shit the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what? I got bitten by the bug. I did it for like a year, mm-hmm. and then I quit. And then I got laid off from my job, got mm-hmm. back into comedy, and 16 years later, I'm sitting up here at McVeigh's Pub.
Right.
So, can't complain.
It's quite the arc.
Isn't it?
But the best part of that story is that it was concise. Todd, take notes.
Ouch!
You can be replaced.
I've been petitioning for it.
There you go. It's the Todd and Jocko show coming to you live from above the pub. So,
folks, listen to episode 201 of the TVA podcast. I'm about to get Ian to hold a baby.
Yeah.
Now,
and also join the play the TVA drinking game. Every time I mention Scananoque, just drink.
Just
till
take
you're
a
dead.
Drink. Take a drink. So here's the. This was all happening in Montreal for you.
Yes.
Right. So they would have had a Yucks, I think, at that point
I started at the Comedy Works.
Okay.
There used to be a Yucks back in the 70s.
That's right.
And then Ernie Butler got rid of them, thank God. Mm-hmm. And I started at the Comedy Works, and then I've been at the Comedy Nest for like 15 years or whatever. Yeah. So
I'm actually heading to the Works in August.
Oh, okay,
actually,
cool.
I'm going to be hosting out there. I don't know who's headlining it, but me and Andre Arruda
are going up.
He's a little guy, I guess we can say.
Midget, little dwarf.
He's well, the thing is, here's
the
beautiful part.
You're doing retro inclusive now.
He does, yeah. He came up to me and said, hey, do you want to see if we can get on at the same time? I can get you there on via first class. I go, why is this? Because you would count as my helper. I'm like, awesome. He goes, and so the helper's going to be drinking free booze the entire trip.
Wow.
So that's going to be not much of an assistant. But I'm looking forward to doing that.
That should be a lot of fun.
What's on the show with you and Andre?
See, I don't even know who the headliner is. I don't even know. I just know it's me, Andre, and Booze, and that's a recipe
dates?
I like.
That August. Sounds like a really, really bad movie from the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, Todd, if you need a few bucks, I'll throw you some.
My blacked out weekend with Andre.
Exactly.
It's August 19th through 21st. I'll be down there hosting up. So that'll be fun. Just for Laughs, is that still on right now?
It just finished. This is how in the vogue and in the loop I am in this industry. It just finished last
yeah.
week.
And you were there for it.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't part of it. I was part of it 2 years ago, but I was in town, if that counts.
Now, do you tour around? Like, do you go in and see shows like while you're there, like when it's on?
No, I don't go to the party unless I'm invited.
Right.
Plus, I feel weird going to a comedy show that I'm not on. Not that I'm being arrogant, but I just feel weird. Like, you know, like I'm sure if you're a starting quarterback, you go watch a game. It's like, oh, I should be out there doing something, you know? So I never go to shows. Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of guys that I would want to see.
Yes, I would love to have seen Steve Martin. Right. I would love, because I grew up with him. He's one
of my... You wouldn't have sucked it up just for that. just to go see him.
Really?
I'm weird that way.
What were the reviews on that like?
They said it was great.
Yeah?
They said it was wonderful and, you know, as always, polished and smooth and just well worth the wait and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, I mean, he's brilliant.
He's one of those guys. I heard that Shelley Berman, I think, is coming back.
Or
still doing it. Like, he's like in his 70s or something like that. But apparently he took a pause or something like that.
Well, I know Todd Van Allen. I know Tim Allen.
Yeah.
There you go. He's back doing stand.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what else is happening?
But I think that's
you mean after the Road movie that he did? He's
only do so many Toy Stories. I don't know. I think it's wonderful that you can fall back on it. Like, say, you know, you go into TV and the movies and stuff like that. I mean, I know we're all waiting. I would love to see Eddie Murphy come back on stage and do what he can do.
He's apparently working on it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I mean, and I can understand Eddie left with like Raw and Delirious, which are classics, you know, to come back. People are going to be expecting that and he hasn't done it for a while. But I think it's wonderful to be able to fall back on like Robin Williams, who went off and did hundreds of horrible movies.
Right.
And fell back and now he's doing stand up again.
Must be tough, though, because you must be sort of out of touch with like sort of like the middle class, like the sort of your target audience.
But I don't
I'm really curious
to see what color Eddie Murphy's suit's going to be this time.
I was just thinking that. How much leather will it be now?
He's almost 50 now.
Yeah. He's going to wear like an orange leather suit because he did the red, he did the purple. Now,
But I mean, I just think it's funny because these guys, I mean, obviously they can. They're going to hire writers. I don't see Eddie heading out to open mics on a Tuesday with his notepad and all that stuff. But I mean, that's the luxury that they can afford because they are who they are. So, you know.
You probably, like, there will be the things like it, in the same way that Seinfeld kind of built up his material again after throwing it out.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be doing the exact same thing where he's going around rooms like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Murphy, and people will be blown away by his presence going, holy shit, we're about to see something. But the same thing will happen that happened with Seinfeld. They'll give him 2-3 minutes of grace.
Exactly.
And then you better be goddamn funny.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I'm with Darcy on this one. I want to see like sort of what that back in touch, like, I get the feeling the tables will have turned now in the same way that so many guys like Chris Rock, and Tracy Morgan that watched him as an idol to, you know, to get into stand up and start crafting. I get the feeling he'll probably be doing the same thing with them and watching a Chris Rock and saying like, okay, so what is going on now?
But it depends on the angle. I mean, he's 50 years old. He's almost 50. He's got like 4 kids.
I mean,
I'm sure he could just do all stuff about being a dad it would be interesting. But Bill Cosby's been doing stand up for 40 years and he's still.
But did Bill really stop? Like that?
No.
Well, he had. I would say he stopped touring. Like when he was doing the Cosby Show, that was really a dedicated amount of
time.
Jay
Leno still
doing
does.
That.
He did stand up during the Tonight Show.
Oh yeah, the whole time.
But the beauty is he doesn't. You know, Eddie can do one theater a week as opposed to I'm going to do a weekend here in Toronto, then I go to you know Rochester and then you know whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I would love to see that. I think I would.
Yeah. So. I'm trying to think of who
you'd like to see.
Yeah, like him. Him back. At that is obviously something you'd pony that you'd pay for, right?
Yeah, I would pay to see that.
But not Steve Martin, racist.
Well, if I was going to pay to see Steve Martin, if I was going to pay just for laugh prices for Steve Martin, I want to see just Steve Martin.
Yeah, exactly. See, you like, see Steve do 15 off the top, maybe then 5 or 6.
Yeah, he's hosting the gala. There's like 8 other guys on that show.
Yeah, and he also did some banjo stuff.
And he brought Dane Cook with him as a surprise.
What?
Did he really?
That is not a surprise.
No, he didn't. It would have been. I didn't read about that.
I read about it in the Gazette.
Really?
Apparently, as an unannounced guest, you know, on Steve Martin's request, Dane Cook came up and did...
And did Steve Martin's jokes?
Oh. We wish him a lot of luck. He's a friend of the show.
Dane came out with the arrow through his head, played the banjo.
Yeah.
Pardon
me.
But Steve did King Tut. He did King Tut at the end of this.
Did he really? Apparently. Oh, wow.
Dane Cook did or Steve Martin?
No, Steve Martin did.
Okay.
I'm happy for any comic who has major success, regardless of what we think of him personally.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I'm very happy for him. Even Larry the Cable Guy, who I'm not a fan. Any comic who can open up the doors and all that stuff that make people want to go see them at like, you know, the ACC or the Bell Center says, okay, this is something I can strive for. Cause if they're doing it, then I can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As much as I'm not a fan of either of those guys.
Arena comedy.
It's interesting that you cut your sleeves off before you came to the show today.
Well, you know, I had to get her done. So. Yeah.
From the old guard, I would say, like, I've been lucky. I was able to see Bob Newhart.
Oh, wow.
But you know, before he goes away and just like, you know, like that's a bucket list little check mark right there for me. But I would love to see, like, I haven't seen Rickles yet. and he's still touring.
Yeah.
And I would really like to see him, cause apparently he's still good. Like he's still selling. And surprise out of left field, who is still doing it at affordable prices and is still in the game, is Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
And I've heard nothing but good things about her. The documentary about her, I can't wait to see, cause everyone's raving about that.
It's kind of a real kickstart.
Yeah.
Her live shows again. Yeah.
And she's in a Twitter fight right now with Lindsay Lohan. That's got to be good.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know this?
Is she really doing the Twittering?
That's my question. My mom's younger than her and still refers to it as the solitaire box. So, yeah. That's my mom's computer.
My mom still can't figure out the VCR. I can't even attempt to show her a computer or an iPod or anything like that.
So. By the way, PVRs, fucking love them.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, I didn't know you just hit a button and go there.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. And then I rolled over on the
Todd's
remote.
Got a tech boner.
Yeah. Oh, I do. And I rolled
I
over on
call
it.
These guys out on this stuff.
I rolled over on the thing. Like I just like kind of shifted. I didn't realize that the show started rewinding. I'm like, what?
How does it? I didn't know that.
No.
I didn't know that.
Oh shit.
I didn't know I could do that either. That's what I love about. I have like constant instant replays. Yeah. No, that ball is out of bounds. What the hell? You know?
Oh fuck! I did not know that. Just like the iPhone changed the way I go to the bathroom. This is changing the way I live my life.
Never getting an iPhone.
I'm never getting an iPhone again.
I'll stick with BlackBerry. Thank you very much.
Certainly no one's going to use mine after this. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jocko Alston on Season 1, Episode 1 of Comedy Above the Pub.
Hi, this is Mike Damber, and you're listening to Comedy Above the Pub.
Hey there, folks. And we are back with Season 1, Episode 1 of Comedy Above the Pub. I'm finding it very hard not to call it the other name that we used to have, but listeners from the TVA podcast, thanks again for coming in. We got Jocko Alston with us.
Yes, sir.
Back again. We had a fantastic break, talked about radio and podcasting, and Ian's here, Darcy's back.
Hi.
Everyone's great. And you were saying you wanted to get into radio?
Yes.
And like what sort of thing would you want to
I would love to have a sports call-in radio show.
Oh,
I would love to get up every day
and just
for
talk
4
sports.
Hours and just bitch about sports. I would love to do
I
that.
I would take you over McCowan any day.
Oh, it wouldn't be hard.
And you've got sunglasses, you can wear those in the studio. Oh, I understand that's a big part of it.
He's an idiot. I can't stop. But that's the thing about sportscasters. Either you really like them and you listen to them, like I listen to ESPN on satellite in the car. So I'm a big fan of, you know, Tony Kornheiser and Scott Van Pelt and all those guys. And then I turn on when I get to Toronto and listen to Bob McCown just so I can swear at him all along the 401. You know, just get your head out of your ass, you fucking idiot.
The thing I hate about him is that he's got this arrogance about him. And that's fair enough. Like, I mean, if you're going to be arrogant or whatever and you have your opinion and stuff like that. But you just know that there's no arguing with him.
No.
There's absolutely no point in it. So there's no – it's always just going to say, yeah, he's right, even when he knows he's dead wrong. He's going to dig in his heels and just it's aggravating.
Well, here would be the funny thing because I'm from Montreal and I can't stand the Habs. So I think it would just be it would just be people calling me saying, how can you not like Montreal? How can you not? Oh, you know, and just and all that stuff.
In that accent?
Yeah.
Probably.
Where are you walking around in Montreal?
Well, you know, there's certain parts that we don't tell other people about, you know.
Where they speak English like that.
Exactly.
I get that as well, living in Toronto, being a Senators fan.
And
people go, oh, exactly. That's what I get.
I'll tell you a story. I was in Ajax. I'll tell you two stories about being booed.
I've got several.
Oh, I have a couple, but from
today.
This one's specific. I was in Ajax hosting and I mentioned, I'm from Montreal and boo. I'm like, why are you booing Montreal? Habs suck. And I'm like, and I'm not a Habs fan, but I am certainly even worse, not a Leaf fan.
Right.
So I'll always defend my city. And I'm like, really? So we're all Maple Leaf fans? Whoa. I'm like, okay. Quick question. Who's been to a Stanley Cup parade? And I put my hand up. Who's been to two?
There's some old guy wetting himself in the back.
Exactly. Who's been to 11 since he was born?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up. All right.
I get
building goodwill in Asia.
Well, my favorite thing is like you, how can you not cheer for Montreal? I get the exact same thing where people go, well, you live in Toronto, how come you don't support them? I go, well, you're a Leafs fan, right? If you move to Edmonton, will you start cheering for Edmonton? No, I'd still be a Leaf fan. I know. I know you would be because you're an idiot. I don't understand myself, but yeah, if you, I could see you as a sports guy.
Oh, I've been a sports guy, hockey guy.
Yeah, I guess you watch basketball.
No, not really.
No,
not
I watch it to a point, and then I get to a point.
I was following
the
LeBron thing, but I mean, I'm not a basketball, and I'm a horrible basketball player. And it was weird because being like one of like 8 black kids in my high school and 6 foot tall at 13. Oh, pick him first and quickly. Yeah. Oh, is the janitor free to play? Because I was just horrible.
Yeah,
I'm a horrible basketball.
So you grew up on the island of Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still live there now?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whereabouts?
I live in the western part of the island, so the English section,
right,
if you want to call it that.
Where they talk like this.
Exactly.
So you've never done your act in French?
No. Okay. My French is horrible. Yeah. My French is absolutely
horrible. Oh, my God.
Because French class is where I would goof off and tell all my jokes and be an idiot. So, yes. I mean, that's why, and it reflects it. Now,
Zut
so.
Alors.
Yeah. Exactly.
I stopped at grade 11 because I just saw a gradual decay in my interest and ability and just went, you know what? I'll just not work for the government.
Well, yeah, you're being a much up. But the thing is, though, I spend so much time on the road in Ontario and across Canada and in the States, I've totally lost, like, whatever little French I had, I've lost.
Really?
You know, so even now I'll be sitting there and I can understand it and I'll be so, like 8 words behind, like, oh, okay, I know what you're trying to say. Like, I've totally lost it.
Right.
So.
It's weird, the words that you will remember, though.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting in the room last week at Absolute Comedy, and Mike Danvers on stage, and he's doing his pickle bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds a guy called Alain in the front row who becomes his pickle that night.
Mm-hmm.
And who he says, so it's Al
or his cornichon for
exactly,
your people at
that's
home.
What I said. That's exactly what I said. Because Ryan McLaughlin, another guy who works out there, another local comic, he turns to me and goes, you should call him, what's French for pickle? And I just, out of nowhere, like, through the vapor, grabbed it as a cornichon.
There you go.
And he's like, yeah, I had to go to the fridge.
Well, I was coming here with Mike and we're walking down the street and there was a family in front of us speaking French and I totally understood what they were saying. It's just weird how all of a sudden my brain clicked to, like, oh, you understand them. Then it clicked out.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So it's way too much information.
I did, when I was a kid, I did a French exchange.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Like, so you got like 2 weeks there and then the kids would come here for 2 weeks and try to teach. And the... I wasn't able to really participate in the spirit of it because the father's job of the family was an English professor.
Oh,
so he would want to really jazz up on his English around me.
Of course.
And I was like, well, no, that's not what I should be doing. You know, like, understand that.
But it's funny though. I guess being, it's more of a political thing in Montreal where the French is jammed down your throat. And I know it's the language and blah, blah, blah. But I find I'm far more bilingual and relaxed speaking French when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. I've been in Calgary on the C train and hearing French all over. And I'll even answer them in French very, you know, because I'm not being judged about how bad my French is. It's more like, oh, at least you're trying, you know, whereas, and I have a French Canadian mom and being in Montreal and I would speak French, be like, you should speak better than that. I mean, I saw your mother, she French. What the hell wrong with you? And I'm like, sorry.
Aren't you Haitian?
Wow. Thank you very much, Todd. I've enjoyed the show. I got to go kick the living crap out of Darcy.
Darcy's going to be holding a baby soon.
Exactly.
It's our new segment.
Exactly.
I have a friend who lives in Montreal and that's what he gets all the time. Like, you know, he's black and so automatically Haitian.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Backpedaling.
Yeah.
It's funny when I'm in the
way to go, Darcy. Way to go.
That's how it rolls.
See, I'm watching you going, so this is what it's like when I do that, and that's what you're seeing. That's what happens. I see it's like you literally had your arms moving.
But that's not a real thing? Then he's like full of shit then when he tells me that everyone thinks he's Haitian?
No,
I'm black in Montreal?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. But when I go to the States, everyone thinks I'm Puerto Rican.
Really?
Yeah. Because of the skin tone and all that stuff. Because I'm mixed. So, right. I mean, and I remember gigging in the Dominican Republic and all these Spanish girls were coming up and talking. Blah, 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 and so I'm like, no, Espanol. No, Canadian hockey puck. Oh, Canada. I have no idea. So they could be offering me everything. I'm like, no, I don't understand.
Right.
You know.
But it sounds delightful.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it's true what you say about making the effort. Because when I was in high school, I used to wait on tables and we were a tourist town. We were halfway in between
and
Toronto,
what town
Montreal.
Would this be?
We've mentioned it before. It's an important. But we would go in.
Beautiful.
And you like
beautiful.
That? Like how I did that? Thank you. Thank you, Jocko.
It's all part
fantastic.
Of the 12-step program.
It is. As soon as we got French-speaking tables, and we sometimes got, like, you know, on Saint-Jean-Baptiste, like that long weekend, we would get French people who just spoke French, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thankfully, it was like a Voyageur restaurant back then, so they had pictures of cheeseburgers that you could point to.
Yeah.
And just
that's what, when I went to Japan, it was like that. I have no idea how to say it. I would just point to
whatever. And you realize that's testicles. Yep, fine. Fire it up.
Yummy.
Put some cheese on it.
So I would fire up the high school French that I had, mm-hmm. and I knew like patate pilée de frites, which is mashed potato or fries, avec la sauce, which is or le sauce. I've really forgotten which article is appropriate there, but it's gravy.
Yeah.
And they would appreciate. And two things were motivating me in this one. One, to make them feel comfortable, and they didn't care. I was making an effort. It's exactly like you say, but guaranteed an extra $2 on the tip.
There you go.
That.
But it's so funny. Growing
Todd's teaching. Mercenary French.
Growing up in Montreal, I'm so used to certain things because of the language. Like, you know, the right side of the menu is French, mm-hmm. and the left side of the menu is English. Right? No, I'm doing that wrong. The right side is English.
It's important that everyone can see this on the podcast.
No, you have to know this because the left side is French and the right side would be English. So I'm in New York City once with my sister and I automatically open a menu and I turn my head and I'm like, oh man, this restaurant only has dessert. There's no food here.
Why am I at a patisserie?
Exactly. Like, I wanted a hamburger and I turn my head. Oh, that's right. It's English on both sides here.
Interesting that it would have been Lamburger on that side as well.
Exactly.
And the confusion continues.
That's too funny.
It's so good that they translate. I will say this. If you're looking to get into radio and stuff like that, because I just got done doing a couple of voice gigs this week for commercials.
So you got a great voice. I mean, they turned the bass up on me. I sound like a Muppet. I mean, I need
no,
one of those.
You don't. You have a lovely speaking voice.
Go ahead.
Okay, see, now if I sounded like this, this would be, hi, you're listening to Jocko Wilson. See, that sounds cool. Not this, hey, how's it going? My nut should drop any moment now.
But
it's the Elmo cast.
Allow me to warn you. That if you ever decide to go and start doing commercials and stuff like that, first of all, when you go into that room and they start playing back in front of the client what you just said 85 times, you learn to hate it quickly.
Oh, I believe
it. And you're constantly going, why did I do that? And
sorry,
they keep playing
Jason,
it for you over and over and over again.
Well, I recorded my first DVD and my friend and I were editing it and we sat in a room for like 2 months and I couldn't even watch. I'm like, oh, I look so stupid. Oh, I'm so fat. I can't believe, people find this funny. Like I can't watch myself and I can't listen to myself.
No.
So I know exactly how
it's painful. It's painful, to, like, especially to watch. And I have not done that many commercials at all. I've done like one, Mike Danber and I saw it, for the first time ever out west. We're just like, in Regina. I look up on the TV, go, hey, it's my commercial. And like,
you did a voiceover or are you on
I
it?
I did a voiceover for one commercial.
Can we say the product? What commercial is
this? Coming out next is going to be for Pizza Hut on the radio.
Oh, cool.
And you'll hear me doing some nice little announcery work. This is the weird thing, too. I walk in, because they always give me announcer stuff.
Yeah,
because it's always stuff like this. And they make me do legal at the end, which I can't do. Some taxes may apply. Participation might be by venue. This may give you cancer. Like, I always fuck that up, right? Like, I always screw up legal, and it's just...
This may give you cancer.
This may give you cancer.
Cause rectal explosions.
If bleeding persists, contact your physician. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I'm loving it.
Reminds me of a time in Gananoque.
Yes.
Gananoque.
So
do you have any voiceover stories that involve Gananoque?
Oh, I would love that.
Where you're playing soccer?
Oh.
And listening to Devo?
Yeah. Oh, my
God. All your
For the new listeners, this was a constant theme back on the TVA podcast. And guess what? It's going to continue. Sorry, Jason.
No matter how many meetings we have.
We'll talk about that. But I go in, and so I see that there's two roles that they have, and it's me and this other actor. And one is just guy who interrupts the announcer, and they give me an announcer script, and everything is highlighted. So I go, here I go. I'm like the announcer guy again, so I don't get to play at all. It's always going to be straight. Make sure that you come and have our two pizzas and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the woman comes and goes, actually, Todd, you'll be reading for the guy role.
Okay.
I'm like, awesome. I get to play now. It's going to be great. We get into the studio. We do about four or five takes of this thing. And then the guy comes into the studio and goes, we're going to change roles.
Oh.
And the other guy had gone through and done all the legal and gotten that out of the way, which is like, for those who don't know, the legal is like all those disclaimers at the end where
you have to give you cancer.
You have to say them really quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and I don't have that forte at all.
No. Nothing about you says quick.
No. Except when I'm in the bed, let me tell you that. There's a long line of disappointed ladies, let me tell you.
I don't think it's that long.
I don't know.
You know.
There's a short list of contestants that have...
There's a Twitter hashtag about TVA disappointment.
Yeah. Which is just TVA cry. Exactly. They shortened that one down, too. So I'm thinking, God, good. I don't need to do legal. I don't do any of that. And then they turn to me and go, well, now you're going to do the announcer. I'm like, oh, God. But the thing is, I might be able to get more work out of this.
I
don't know.
So, but
you're going to be listening to a lot of your voice.
That's fine. But I would love to get into that eventually.
Yeah. So it's not as glamorous as you think.
I'm not doing it for the glamour. Yeah. I would do it because I would love to work 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
and do what I have to do and bitch about sports. And
but even so, I mean, like, there would be a ton of research before that. Like, you want to know, like, what the scores are and do the
calls.
That's
why you hire people.
It's Jocko and his staff.
I'd be the face. I'll be the voice.
Intern!
Exactly.
Get me some RBI stats.
Exactly.
Stat!
So, no, I would love to eventually, but I love doing stand-up, and so it's, I'm not going into that anytime.
Nice. Start a podcast.
There you
start
go.
Start a podcast.
Yeah, start a podcast.
Was a Sens Underground that you were a big fan of.
Yep.
So you could do one for the Oilers of Montreal.
Well, it's very interesting.
Me and two Scottish guys, we do one called We Are the People, which is a Glasgow Rangers podcast. And we just noticed there was nothing out there.
I remember when we worked together, and we're only going to talk soccer a little bit. I know you guys don't, because you left the condo to see your team.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched, now my girlfriend is Dutch, so I go for the Netherlands, you know, so I
never loved you more, sir. Well,
I was, you know, go orange, you know, I was cheering for them, you know, and I soccer.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's fine. That's fine.
You know, soccer and basketball to me fall into the same category.
You suck at them?
What? Yeah. Okay. I very much suck. That's very funny, fucker. basketball to me is they're constantly scoring. So there's no drama. Whereas soccer, they're never scoring.
Right.
So it's like that whole, okay, somebody, like, I mean, in the World Cup final, it went into like double overtime. Okay, somebody do something, you know? But I mean,
I figured it out, and it was watching a game live in Glasgow when I was there, and it just sort of hit me what the difference is and why, why people don't get it. And this is the best explanation I have. Like, when you're watching like NFL football and you're watching them line up and they take the snap and then they stop. And then they line up, take the snap, and they stop. Like, they're pushing play up the field, but they're doing it in fragments. Whereas you're watching that same thing happen instantly. So there's turnovers, there's pass backs, there's all that thing, and it's just flowing that way. And I understand why people don't like the game, and that's cool, and this is mine, and that's
I got
awesome.
A greater appreciation because they would show the overhead shots, and they would show, like, especially the Dutch, who are really good at passing, they would show them setting up like an NHL shot. Like, they would have the guys at the point, and then right at the lip of the circle, and I'm watching them, and you don't see it sideways, but I'm like, oh my God, they're really actually moving. Of course, they're not fucking shooting, but I mean, at least they're moving. But no, I have an appreciation for this sport. I'm in no way a fan.
Yeah. I warn every guy that I work with in the condo at Absolute Not. I was like, okay, I'm going to be taking off in the morning. You're welcome
like
to join.
I faithfully cheered on the Dutch. I had a flag on my collar and everything like that.
So you're a hockey fan foremost. Did you play hockey?
No, I didn't play hockey.
Did you play any sports?
Yeah, I played football when I was a kid. I played baseball. I'm one of the few Canadians out of Montreal who does not know how to skate.
Really?
Well, my mom didn't. I was a big kid, right? And I wanted to play because growing up for me, get your Google pad out. I was, when I was a little kid, I was a Habs fan, but then I was a huge, and to this day, still a huge Phil Esposito fan. He's who I wanted to be when I was a kid. But I mean, like at 6 years old, I was the size of a 12-year-old. So if I wanted to play hockey, they're going to put me in with 12-year-olds.
Oh, wow.
You know, so my mom said no. So that's why I never learned how to skate. I'm going to learn now, but I never learned how to skate. But now I'm a big hockey fan. And that's thanks to PlayStation more than anything else. no, at least with PlayStation, I mean, I know every player now. I know their tendencies and all that. I'm a big NFL fan. CFL, I like it and I enjoy it. Just the players change too much, so I can't keep track and all that. So yeah.
I have the same thing with baseball. I didn't know a lot about baseball until I picked up like one of the MLB games for PS2, and then I started going through. You know, I said, "Oh, I'll take." You know, I didn't want to take Toronto because they suck, so I said, "Okay, I'll take Boston." I just learned all about the Boston roster and started to learn like all about the teams and stuff.
They may suck in the NHL, but the Edmonton Oilers are 10-time Stanley Cup champions in a row. Thank you very much.
The
Jocko made a few roster changes before the season.
Slightly,
yes. Your time.
Those days are gone. Wow. Now. Can we
say that? Penner for Sidney Crosby.
I know. Ovechkin looks awesome in copper and blue. I am telling you that right now.
Getting back to that, I almost picked up, I wanted to pick up an appreciation for rugby because I know a lot of my friends watch it. I was like, this is a sport I'd love to do. And I will watch any sport in the company of people who enjoy it. Like, I don't care what it is, whatever the sport is. If you're into it, I want to learn that too.
Learn cricket.
Yeah. I do.
That's the same sport I was thinking.
I want to and watch it with people who are just not into it, just fucking into it. Like that's what I want to be watch. And so I'm always saying to like friends of mine who watch rugby, it's like when the next, you know, Six Nations is on or the World Cup, watch a game with me. Just explain because rugby is one of these things where I understand it for a bit and then the referee blows his whistle. and then they hug. And I go, okay, I don't.
It's called a scrum, Todd.
The big hug is what I call, and I don't understand.
I was in high school once.
It's no soccer.
When I was a kid in high school, I was playing football, and the kids are playing. The coach had the rugby guys out. I'm like, I could play this game. This is, I'm gonna. So I get the ball, and I take off running. I'm gonna score whatever, a point or a touchdown. And next thing you know, the rugby coach decides this kid's a little too arrogant, so he took off running. He hit me.
My coach
hit me. My shoe went one way. I went the other, got up with this divot on my skull, literally picked up my shoe and just walked off the field. So I will never, ever.
Screw you guys. Exactly. I'm going home. I'm taking my shoe,
which I lost.
So I'll never get into rugby because I had a hit and run accident on rugby. So.
Oh, awesome. Okay. We got two segments I want to do. This is a new one.
Am I involved in this?
You are involved. This is a three series of questions.
We yell at Todd.
This one is called What Didn't I Do This Week? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to outline three possible things that I have done this week,
okay,
in the past week. Two of them I actually have done.
Okay.
One of them I did not.
Okay.
So. You are going to have to pick one. We're going to start with you. We're going to go around. So
that's
this week.
That's the same face I made when you told me about the segment, Todd.
What didn't I do? Did I put a dead rat in a bag? Did I tell an actor in a studio to shut up? Or did I, or did I not, have to be forcibly restrained in a bar from a Spanish gentleman because he was bagging on Holland?
Todd is secretly James Bond.
Which ones did I do? Which one did I not do? Rat in a bag, actor to shut up. Because I think we've alluded to.
Okay, I think you did the Holland thing because the way you reacted.
I think
to
I did I the Holland
said,
thing.
When I, okay. The way I said because I went for Holland. Rat in a bag. I have no fucking clue where you live.
apparently where you need rats in a bag.
Actor. I'll say you did not rat in a bag.
Did not rat in a bag.
You did not rat in a bag.
All right. Ian, what didn't I do this week?
Oh, come up with a better segment idea.
Oh, nice. Was that an option?
Wow.
I didn't think of this.
Seriously? Okay, let's do your segment, fuckhead. All right. So
I'm
take a
say,
guess.
Didn't tell an actor to shut up.
Did not tell an actor to shut up. Okay. Rat in a bag, actor shut up, Darcy.
Darcy's clearly on board with this too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, no, I'm home with Ian. Yeah. Didn't tell an actor to shut up.
No?
No.
Okay. I was not forcibly restrained. I did not let that happen. That did not happen at all.
There was no Spanish.
You were wrong.
We were all wrong.
You were all wrong.
Well crafted.
This past week I did have to put a dead rat in a bag. Because I found out the new house has composters. That I just moved into a new house, and they go, oh, composters, those are kind of cool. Guess what rats like? What's in composters? I found out. So, yeah, that was my welcome to the neighborhood
gift. You put a live rat in the bag?
No, a dead rat.
So how did it get dead? Like, what are you putting in the
compost? I don't know what it did. What did it eat? And then secondly, why am I eating that? Well, it was something I threw away then. That's, yeah, so that was not
good. The show's gotten really awkward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I don't know about
that. Thank you.
Did I mention we're trying new shit out?
Did I mention that? I hear it.
Okay,
welcome to the open mic segment of the TV podcast where we're just throwing shit against
the
wall.
Yeah, we'll have kids, you know, yanking on the door to sign in for that one. But no, I did actually tell an actor to shut up, but it was in the script.
Oh, okay.
Because the guy was actually interrupting
and stuff
like that. I was cool for a second. But I did see in the first commercial I ever did, I saw an actor storm off set.
Nice.
And flip out at the director, which was awesome. I was like, wow, does this always happen? This is my first commercial.
So you work with Christian Bale?
I did. And
dude, you're
Batman,
dick.
For God's sakes. I don't need this. Can I just say that lighting guy was a dick, okay? Let's just throw that out there. Okay, this we know is gold. This actually, we do a segment called Tweet the Guest. So people can tweet
somebody
in.
Actually tweet a question.
Someone tweeted a question to you and you specifically. Your name is mentioned.
And who's this from?
Well,
a friend of yours, is it from the Dead Rat?
I believe it was the Dead Rat. First of all, for the folks at home, we have a Twitter handle, which is Comedy Above the Pub. Is that what it is?
Sure it is.
I'm looking at that. That's what we'll do. Yes. So those of you in TweetSpace, follow that. You'll get the updates on the show. You'll be able to tweet us and let us know sort of what your questions are for the guests. I will forward them out from my handle, which is Hey, It's TVA. And this one comes from Aussie Mandius. Okay. AUSSIEMANDIAS.
Sure.
And he asks you specifically, because it says right here, want to ask Jocko what he believes is the catalyst for developing comic talent in a comedian's life. So what's the catalyst? Very deep, eh?
Who is this Ozymandias?
I don't know, but he's a brain. He knows, first of all, the use of the word catalyst.
He's a chemist.
Mm. Obviously a chemist.
The catalyst. So it is sparking and enhancing the reaction, but it's not get used up in it. Have I got that right? I believe that's what the catalyst means. How do you think it works? That's just really inside baseball, and I've never seen you squirm this much.
This is retarded.
Well, this is awesome. Do you want to go back to the dead rat?
No, that's fine. No, less about you, more about me.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
This will be my final podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, folks, for tuning in.
Hey, but wait, I got more to.
What do you think? What do you think?
For developing comedy talent?
For developing comic talent in a comedian's life.
I think it, life experience, I guess. Mm-hmm. For me, that's my catalyst. Cause I mean, I think all comics, we look at life a little differently. Mm-hmm. Some darker, some funnier, some awkward, you know. And I always take everyday experience or things that have happened to me. And that sort of, I build my act around that, you know. So that would be my, I'm not a topical comedian. I'm not a political comedian. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to change. I just want you to shut your brain off and laugh for whatever time I'm up on stage. So if I can bring my life to you and say, well, like, you know, when I went to Japan or doing this or doing that, that to me is how that shapes comedy. Is that even close to the answer?
So do things come like spontaneously to you, or when you have a life experience, whatever, do you then reflect and then trying to find the funny in it?
There's certain times, I think every comic has that moment where they're like, wait a minute, this could be something. This could be funny. Like, and I'm already preparing. I have a 2-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And we're taking her to see the Wiggles.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And this has cost me $400
for floor seats.
I have never seen a concert this close, and my first one's going to be the fucking Wiggles. But I'm imagining, I'm like, okay, this is it. There's going to be 10,000 people with kids at a concert at 11:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, there's jokes here. So that to me, my brain's already working on that. Or like when I went to Japan and I was there and it was such a culture shock and everything was so different. I was just writing down point for my experience, and then you come home and you sort of mesh it all together. Mm-hmm. So that's how it works for me.
Bit of column A, bit of column B.
Yeah, exactly.
I find the same thing. Like, I'll be out somewhere and like, oh shit, that just happened. And yeah. Like, you know, out comes the notepad and it's like, okay, jot that down, then take it home and forget all about it.
Like the other day I went to the movies, and in the handicap parking was a Porsche Carrera.
Right.
In handicap parking with the sign. I'm like, how the hell? What the? Really?
Well, it's lower to the ground.
Well, what kind of high rolling handicap?
Exactly. I'm like, well, I'll cut my legs off for a Porsche.
You can have no legs and still be good. I mean, like, you know.
I haven't come up with one pimp and cripple.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I haven't come up with the joke. But it's one of those things that I just stuck in the back of my head. Like, eventually it's going to come. It's going
to
come out.
Well, there's like the disconnect.
Well, what about the live ant guy that went to jail?
What?
Garth Drabinsky.
Sorry. What guy?
The live ant guy.
Darth Drabinsky used to do Just for Last, didn't he? No.
Drabinsky. I think I've got the name right.
Yeah.
He was a guy that had like Ticketmaster thing with him. And he was a cripple, I think. I think his legs.
Well, no, I'm not saying, but it just seems odd.
So that's probably him.
Wow,
right there.
So now I'm going to get hate groups coming after me. No, I just thought that
was
odd.
Seems like an odd vehicle choice.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why it stuck in my head. Yeah. So those are things that I store in the back of my head. And then as things develop or whatever, or what happens now is that things will happen to my friends and they'll tell me stories. And as they're telling me their story, I'm like writing it, for me.
Right.
Like a lot of jokes, like my act is based on life experiences, but like there's things that like when I went to Universal Studios that happened to the girl I was with that I transferred to me, you know, right. So like, oh, this is too funny. That's how I draw. I'm not one of these. I know comics will sit down with a pot of coffee, a pack of cigarettes and just go through the newspaper or go through Time Magazine or the internet and write their whole act like that. I don't work that way.
No.
Well, a lot of guys work from a sense of dissatisfaction or a pursuit of justice and pursuing, you know, doing their material as well.
I'm just a big goof. I just want you to laugh. I just want you to sit there and go, oh, I remember when I flew on an airplane, I went through that. Or, you know, when I did a podcast with Todd, I went right to it.
Yeah.
When I was parking my Porsche in a handicapped spot, I remember. Oh, those were good times.
I remember those.
I would also say, too, I would throw out there watching comedy. I mean, like, that's why I don't charge comics to get into this room to watch comedy, because you're going to learn more.
Of course.
Watching it, you know, and there isn't,
you have no idea
there isn't anything out there.
So you're saying still jokes.
Oh, absolutely. That's okay. That's exactly.
We have no idea how much you absorb just from standing in the back room. That's why I notice a lot of the young kids now, they do their act and they leave. I'm like, no, watch the whole show, because you learn as much from a bad comic as you do from a good comic, and you learn ebb and flow and how to read a room and stuff like that. But now it's more like, oh, you know, I'm done, or and then they go off and they get drunk or whatever. But I mean, hey, it's the kids today.
They can get drunk here.
Exactly. $3 booze. Wow. $3 booze.
Wow. $3 booze and comedy.
Yeah.
Well, right there. That's going to be my biography. $3 booze.
$3 booze and comedy.
There you go.
Hey, you want a spot tonight?
I would love
I can put you on the lottery list. Apparently, people are lining up for that.
Wow.
Folks, we got to go. You guys got to go and do your show tonight up at Absolute.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Thank you for coming down. It's
thank
good to
you
have you
so
here.
Very much.
What is your web presence? Is it still
it's JockoAlston.com. You can check me out there. All the pertinent stuff is there.
Yes.
I don't have a Facebook page.
No?
Nope. Just have the website. So.
Do you use MySpace?
What? No.
Classmates.com.
No.
Is that still going?
No. There's other websites that you can't access in your office. You know, just JockoAlston.com and everything is there that you need.
All righty.
Cool.
You on the Twitter?
No.
Okay, all right.
Tweetless.
Tweetless. Another tweetless guest. That's all right. Jocko, once again, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. I appreciate this.
Thank you for being here.
You almost sound like you mean that.
I do. I do. You're a jackass, but I love you. Darcy, thanks again for producing.
Hey, no sweat. Goodbye,
and,
everybody.
Yeah, so thank you, folks, for listening to this, the first one, folks. Season one.
I'm very happy to be the first
one. We opened with a star, folks, and I'm so happy that you came down to do this. On behalf of everyone on the show, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Hey, where do you find your comedy? Above the Pub.
Lately, I find I rush. Can't piece together the sun and the sky or the spots on my face.